Tonight, it is my great pleasure to welcome back two people who have been on this stage before you before. I don't know if they've done anything together before on this stage or anywhere. So this is a first.
This is a first.
Carl Frederick and Jim Wilson. Poetry can take us to many realms, other places, other views, other understandings. Tonight, an evening of poetry of realms. Jim Wilson is a local poet whose main focus has been on Japanese-based forms such as Renga and Tanka. Carl Frederick is one of the many non-local phenomena appearing to each other as Sebastopol residents. He says that he hasn't the faintest idea who's writing his poems, and I believe it. But I do know that he is a man qualified to speak on an amazing number of topics. I have yet to plumb the wide range of his mind. Tonight he will apprise us of more of it. So have at it, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Well, Carl and I decided that we would present poems on a variety of realms. And the first realm we're going to enter into is the realm of the seasons. And we decided it would be fun both to read our own poems and poems by people that we like, you know, poems that we particularly like as well. So, I thought this would work, but I don't think it will work. So this is a poem by E.E. Cummings called Anyone Lived in a Pretty How Town. Anyone lived in a pretty how town with up so floating many bells down. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. He sang his didn't, he danced his did. Women and men, both little and small, cared for anyone, not at all. They showed there isn't, they reaped their same, sun, moon, stars, rain. Children guessed, but only a few, and down they forgot as up they grew, autumn, winter, spring, summer. That no one loved him more by more, when by now, and tree by leaf, she laughed his joy, she cried his grief. Bird by snow and stir by still, anyone's any was all to her. Someone's married their everyone's, laughed their crimes and did their dance. Sleep, wake, hope, and then they said their nevers, they slept their dream. Stars, rain, sun, moon. And only the snow can begin to explain how children are apt to forget to remember, with up so floating many bells down. One day anyone died, I guess, and no one stopped to kiss his face. Busy folk buried them side by side, little by little, and was by was, all by all, and deep by deep, and more by more, they dreamed their sleep. No one and anyone, earth by April, wish by spirit, and if by yes, women and men, both dong and ding, summer, autumn, winter, spring, reaped their sowing and went there came sun, moon, stars, rain.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a wonderful. I love the poem for the way it encompasses the whole expanse of time and the flow of time. It's very, very appealing to me. This is one of my poems called White Roses. Mid-morning sunlight, white roses climbing the fence next to the driveway. On a Saturday in May, a rooster pecks at the ground. It's in the details. The lawyer looks at the case, sifting evidence of geological time, displayed on the canyon walls. Snow on the ledges, shadows rapidly lengthen as days quickly pass. Her daughter is a stranger with friends and views of her own. Light from the stained glass window and candles of remembrance, mingling with the sharp incense and the sound of falling leaves. Rolling down the street on his well-dented skateboard, jumping the high curb. Busy shoppers holding bags, purchases from here and there. Moonlight can't compete with the glow of the city or the internet. This is their first face-to-face. They first met in cyberspace. What will people read from the books published today, centuries from now? It doesn't really matter. I know you didn't mean it. The afternoon heat makes it hard to concentrate, to apologize. At the fountain by the store, in the city's public square, there's a rainbow in the air between clouds of gray and white. Hi. Come on in. There's seats here. Oh, that one's taken. This one is called Signs. On the wooden fence, snow has accumulated during the long night. Guardian angels stand watch over all of the gardens. The smell of blossoms from numberless cherry trees, incense of the cosmos. Placed upon the boulder's moss, the light of the Aries sun. I knew what you've done. I like what you've done with your garden and your house. It took a long time. Fallen leaves form a design that is hard to decipher. You try to augur, using the Book of Changes, what he should do next. Have you ever felt perplexed, so you had nothing to say? She puts it away. The letter from her lover says that they are through. There's a saying that is true, all meetings end in parting. It is comforting on a warm summer evening to pause and recall. The rising full moon enthralls us with its light and shadows. One is called Shelter. On this quiet night, under the moon's silver light, people are dreaming. As devas offer guidance in the silence of a glance, a possum freezes in the headlights of a car that breaks just in time. It makes a big difference, all that new insulation. While folding laundry, she makes plans for tomorrow and for the next week. I'm sorry you can't make it. That's okay. Another time. For him, it's a song, even after all these years, the sound of her voice. Mingling with the steady wind and the falling plum blossoms. Starlings are in flight during the long, slow sunset, clouds of red and gold. She begins her second job. The bills just keep coming in. The weather report, at least 5 more days of heat and no rain in sight. In an abandoned building, a runaway finds a home.
We're going to do a transition to my part of the theme of seasons with a renge, which is a poem that's written by two people, and Jim and I wrote this together, alternating. There are six stanzas, and he wrote the first, third, and fifth stanza, and I wrote the second, fourth, and sixth. So, Jim starts.
I wrote these three.
Follow the magic finger. This is you.
Okay, thank you. So this is called A Pause.
You did write this. Part of it. Yeah.
Mornings feel like fall. Afternoons feel like summer. October's ending.
Walking home in the dark. Winter rains.
Getting out the sweaters and the thicker socks. The oak tree leafless.
Sun drops behind the hill. Shadows assemble, door by darkening doorway.
Photographs of her children, they're all grown and gone.
A son picks apples in Wisconsin. A daughter in Florida turns off the air conditioning. An old lover counts the petals of fresh daisies in Buenos Aires.
Cool. We'll have to do more.
You know, this is the first one we did, and it's the best we did probably half a dozen.
Beginner's mind.
It was the best one, I think. So let's see, I'm going to go into some of my own work. This is a poem that I discovered in an old college notebook. This poem is old. I discovered it this past year. It's called Reluctant Ones. Listen, a leaf is falling in the dark outside my window. I hear it now, scraping down the street with two or three other stragglers. Where does the wind come from that only blows the leaves away on soft, dark nights outside my window?
Somebody's waiting.
Hi.
This next one is probably the only poem I've ever written as I was driving. It's short enough that I committed it to memory and then stopped and wrote it. I was on my way to North Carolina 11 years ago to visit my mom, and it was at the end of October, and the leaves were turning. I saw a tree on fire today, a tree that did not burn, and watched and watched and watched until the leaves began to turn from red and orange to dusty brown, and then began to fall. And then I watched and watched and watched until I'd seen it all. And that's the last rhyming poem you will hear from me. Yeah, a haiku in the same vein. Here, a few red leaves. The irony of autumn. Fire before frost. So we'll move from autumn into winter. The trees are light and lifting. Empty branches rise. As children scattered to the wind follow wild goose cries. Ooh, I'm rhyming again.
It's all right. It's okay.
May I be forgiven? The trees are light and lifting. Their arms are skyward thrown. Winds of winter coming. They sing a song, their own. The trees are light and lifting. They stand so tall and spare. Snow so deep around their feet. They hardly know I'm there. Now I am light and lifting. The ground is far below. Among my branches rising, children of the snow. And for the spring, this comes from a year and a half ago. We need a cold winter, a slow, spare time of soulward rumination, to offer known and unknown thanks, to prepare our hearts, prepare for sun's return with the warming winds, the birds, and the full blossom blessings of life. On to summer, how are we doing? Recall hope or sunny sky, birds against blue, tilting toward deep green seas. There are magical things here. Sand in all the right places, yielding to bone, falling between toes like a dry river. The easy slosh of waves at low tide, whispering, whispering, and behind half-closed eyes, dreams of sea and sky and endless sleep. I think it's a good time to move to nature.
Nature? So the second realm Carl and I wanted to sort of move through and explore is the realm of nature. Of course, there's a lot of overlap between seasons and nature, but I'm going to read a poem by Qi Ji, who is a Chinese poet, and it's called Tasting Tea. So, evening smoke rises from the stone dwelling. At the window by the pines, my host grinds an iron pestle. Because I'm staying over, I should try a cup. After all, everyone says, send monk's tea. The taste awakens the poetry devil. The aroma haunts my sleep. Spring wind and thunder on the river. I will recall that walking trip. All the green plants on the banks. And this is by the Chinese poet Xie Lingyun, untitled. Tracing the way back home here, I might round North Mountain. On roads hung along cliff walls, timbers rising in switchbacks. Or I could take the watercourse way, winding and circling back. Level leaks broad and brimming, crystalline depths clear and deep. Beyond shorelines, all lone grace, and long islands of lush brocade. Gazing on and on in reverence, across realms so boundless away. I come to the twin rivers that flow through together, two springs sharing one source. They follow gorges and canyons to merge at mountain headlands, and cascade on, scouring sand out and mounding dunes, below peaks that loom over islands swelling into hills. White water carrying cliffs away in a tumble of rocks, a marshy tangle of fallen trees glistening in the waves. Following along the south bank that crosses out front, the shaking north cliff that looms behind, I'm soon lost in thick forests, the nature of dusk and dawn in full view. And for bearings, I trust myself to the star-filled night skies. Mm. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to read a few poems from a collection called Water Psalms. T- to every point of the compass empowers them. Open your tremble, unwilling to fall. The whirlwind does minister, visits him, a wounded animal, nature of day and night. There must silently and running off, leave no residue, all look at that place. I keep slipping away curves. Its might lies in weakness. Fists into embraces comes from heaven. Not last a whole morning of that which came before it, leans against the earth of the worldling some primal force. Hold nothing. Ease all things go well. With a basket of water belongs, all becomes absorbed. The water of many events, each of which has, remember that lives its own life, the auriferescence moment. As the dolphin rider at dawn, what I have, all I need, water as his preceptor, land of mountain breeze, sound of personal whistle, and valley with laughter. His exuberant cortex of likes and dislikes, or shape of its own, seems very different, a wider horizon in the deep. Mind of music and dislikes comes and goes with the logos, cannot get canceled out. And water to wash his hands, walked before, tent wide to the firmament. With dawn rains, there turns, flowers growing ancient, elemental, a splash of water, fruit good. Pass a stranger I know, temple incense, a warm hand, drops fall, the origin. Use the single force which, across the tide flats, a various attitudes free fluid. Choose one thing in tiles, break apart everything exuberance. Everyone on the beach flies by the wall. Start without source, stones and to the moon, we watch snow. Does not strive, so fit for eternity.
I'll start off with a poem by Rilke, one of the shortest Rilke poems I've seen. It's called Ah, Not to be Cut Off. Ah, not to be cut off, not through the slightest partition, shut out from the law of stars. The inner, what is it, if not the intensified sky, hurled through with birds and deep with the winds of homecoming? When I read that poem several months ago, I had to follow up. So my follow-up is, did you see the sky today? The startling clear blue? Not Rilke's intensified sky, hurled through with birds and deep with the winds of homecoming. Rather, your sky, mine, aching, longing for company. Birds are the messengers. Indoors, a cat named Rooster brings affection. We slip into his dream. Outside, our people are circling. We must go, rest on our mother, give gratitude, dream her dream. We will need no more our shoes. Here's another Rilke called The Man Watching. I can tell by the way the trees beat after so many dull days on my worried window panes that a storm is coming. And I hear the far-off fields say things I can't bear without a friend. I can't love without a sister. The storm, the shifter of shapes, drives on across the woods and across time. And the world looks as if it had no age. The landscape, like a line in the psalm book, is serious and weight and eternity. What we choose to fight is so tiny. What fights with us is so great. If only we would let ourselves be dominated, as things do, by some immense storm, we would become strong too, and not need names. When we win, it's with small things, and the triumph itself makes us small. What is extraordinary and eternal does not want to be bent by us. I mean the angel who appeared to the wrestlers of the Old Testament when the wrestler's sinews grew long like metal strings. He felt them under his fingers like chords of deep music. Whoever was beaten by this angel, who often simply declined the fight, went away proud and strengthened and great from that harsh hand that kneaded him as if to change his shape. Winning does not tempt that man. This is how he grows, by being defeated decisively by constantly greater beings. This is called, this is not called anything actually, it's one of my untitled poems. Many of them are untitled. The ocean is rising. The rocks are clattering among themselves in the rough and ebb and the rough beauty in the arriving and departing of waters which have no stake in the conversation, no say in the outcome, save to carry the words of the land, the dreams of the deep sea, and the wide, wide conversation between. The ocean is rising. Rocks whisper their drowning. Last secrets spoken, moon full tide gathers, returns each sound to silence. In the closing poems in this series, I think this first one is called Lake Ogawara, Japan. It's by a poet you probably have not heard of named Rick Fenwick. And when I read Rick's poem, I immediately wrote one of my own. I'm often kind of given the impulse by another writer. So here's Rick's poem. I sat against a birch tree on the shores of the lake, my shoes off and set spiritually on a splintered wooden bench carved in glyphs I couldn't understand. I thought they might mirror those found in America, Gene plus Bill equals love, or BD and TC forever. I was tempted to carve my own name into the softwood. And then, on the surface of the flat lake, a Siberian swan irritated the water, flung sun-soaked spray high into the air, and the view made my mind drift to a lake in Ontario, where I could hear the loons late at night crooning across the wide expanse of black water. There is symmetry in water, Japan or Ontario, or even Madagascar, no difference. As if the sounds of birds, the view of tiny white fishing skiffs, and even the scarred wooden bench so decimated with carvings, all made sense. A simple picture of joy at the edge of the world. And my follow-up. Nearly asleep I was on a wooden bench, late afternoon gaze idle, drifting with a black swan on a mirrored blue lake. When the swan raised his shoulders, I gripped rough wood as if to hold him and myself in place. He reached into a feathered sky, pulled sun and shadow into the deep palette, and lifted us both slowly forever. I think that's a good system for this.
The realm we'd like to touch on now is the realm of impermanence. Yes, right. Exactly. So, but this is a sonnet by Barnaby Barnes. You know, like not one of the famous British sonneteers, but one of the very first sonnet writers in England. A blast of wind, a momentary breath, a watery bubble symbolized with air, a sun-blown rose but for a season fair, a ghostly glance, a skeleton of death. A morning dew pearling the grass beneath, whose moisture's sun's appearance doth impair. A lightning glimpse, a muse of thought and care, a planet's shot, a shade which followeth, a voice which vanisheth so soon as heard, the thriftless air of time, a rolling wave, a show, no more in action than regard, a mass of dust, world's momentary slave, is man, in state of our old Adam made, soon born to die, soon flourishing to fade.
Mm. When was that written, Jim?
Let's see. Okay, when is Shakespeare?
Okay, early 1600s.
Early 1600s, so this would be the late 1500s. Okay. I have a great fondness for Barnaby Barnes. So, he uses a vocabulary somehow that still stays with us. There's very few words you use that you read that you go, wait a minute, I have to think about that. You know, what does that mean now? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and this is a poem I wrote called Immortality. Take enough vitamin C, they tell me, and you can end up living forever. However, leaving aside forever, you can, they say, live a very long time. Taoist immortals ate cinnabar. Many searched for the fountain of youth. Many prayers to heaven beg for more years. Such endeavors bring only dust and tears. Where the soaring Rocky Mountains now stand, grand ocean waves once shifted shoreside sand. Where desert heat now endlessly shimmers, once a green fern forest quivered with life. The mayfly lives but a single season. Can you tell me the seasons of a star? This one is called In the Coffee Shop. Every morning in the old coffee shop, among newspapers and old memories, they lecture each other the same old truths. It seems they don't know how to listen much, as their voices merge in strange counterpoint, music and radios and shopping malls. Coffee steam rising into the cool air. Toast and eggs vanish between conclusions. All around them, the world disappearing, but words hang like shields in front of their eyes. Even now, how many friends can they name? Gone like morning fog or breakfast coffee. Their passionate politics do not leave even an echo among the mountains and stars. Mm-hmm. This is called How Long Has It Been? It feels like summer, even though it's October and leaves have fallen. Night shadows in the garden and the waxing gibbous moon, a 3-4 time dance mixed with memories of youth whispered in the room. The first love always lingers, and also the first breakup. After the north wind, a day of bone-chilling cold with coats and earmuffs, hands embrace the mug of tea, and a few minutes alone. Under the branches of the blooming cherry tree, insects awaken. I like being around you, he smiles, and she is flattered. At the small bookstore, the regular customer finds a second home. The always open temple, hardly noticed by tourists, family photographs mixed with good-natured joking and sips of sweet wine. One brother asks the other, how long has it been since Mom died?
Well, I often confuse or conflate impermanence and timelessness, and you will notice that perhaps in some of my work. First one, I just hot off the presses, it's still in ink. The persistence of impermanence. Have you noticed how things change? Each day tumbles forward into the next, each week headlong into the next. Pretty soon, another year, another life. Who made this story up? Who's holding the pen? I sent this next one out with a holiday greeting in the year 2000. That was my first, my second winter here in California. Where is this shore? What ocean laps gently here as meandering fingers slip in, drawing ever seaward? What is this wearing at the edges of my life, asking little, having its slow way with sand and rock, until the one I thought I knew shows a softer line? The patient deep sea self knows the time of my days, the stars of my night, and while it watches Earth's long axis carve grand processions among the constellations, it carries this soul in simple love. Have you heard of octopus love? Maybe a handful. Octopus love, you might think, is all arms, all about wrapping. Maybe you'd be surprised to learn that it doesn't, can't last. When the biting and thrashing is over, and months later a cloud of young arises, faint airs stream among them, swan songs for the elders who live another month or few, then drift silently, tentacles unwrapped, loose in deep waters. Don't tangle with the octopus. At the end, I want you to sit through half-lidded eyes. Watch my soul depart. It won't be long. The universe beyond waits to receive me. Indeed, has done so always. And now unfolds and lifts my life out of my life. I go now. Thank you for being here. A similar theme. These two poems were written a little over a year ago, shortly before I turned 65, and there was something about that number that gave me pause. This is called Trust. I walked the broad strand west into a darkening sea. Clouds lie low and crimson in the light at the edge of the world. My feet respond to the call of rising waters. Every step forward, deeper, silent now among the anchors of great ships. Onward, between worlds I can no longer see, beyond the dark curve, the light. Change of pace now.
Yes. We didn't want to finish on that in that particular realm.
So. Abandon propriety. Make riotous love with everything you hate. Exhaust yourself with demons and delirium. Come as a laughing beggar with God under your fingernails. Oh, let's see. I think we have another time for another last impermanence. Turn your face to the wind. I bring sweet dreams on the summer night's air. As a dark seabird, I fly low to the moon-soaked ocean, tip feathers brushing wave tops, following each rise, kissing each hidden shadow. I call your song. On wet sands, your delight breaks forth in each curl that rushes up the glistening slope. I rest at ease between your tides. Footsteps disappear under green waves as time sweeps this place clean again. The birds return unconcerned.
Thank you.
We thought we would, the next realm that we would explore is, we call it introspection. And the poem I chose to read and pick for that theme is Psalm 39. I have a great love of the Psalms, you know, like, and Psalm 39 is one of my favorite. I think it really fits the theme of introspection. So one of the things I love about the Psalms is you can look at it as the oldest collection of English free verse. So Psalm 39. I said, I will take heed of my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth as a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my death days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When with rebukes thou dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to be consumed away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and am no more.
I like 139.
You like 139? Mm-hmm. I'll have to look that up. I don't have them all memorized. Is that your favorite?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. A night of many dreams. Thick, low-lying clouds, a slate-gray extended dawn, silent, with no wind. I put on two pairs of socks, then begin making coffee. "Good morning," she says. "Did you sleep soundly last night?" I had many dreams. In the travel magazine, stories of distant lands. Windows are open. Now that the snow has melted, afternoons are warm. He is the first one this year to see the apple blossoms. From the worn-out road, it's scheduled to be repaved. Commuting to work, she cell phones her closest friends. Stuck in traffic in this heat. On the horizon, clouds slowly accumulate. Over the forest, we tend not to notice change when it happens step by step. He reads some stories to his 3-year-old daughter, her two favorites. Moonlight slips past the curtains, under the door, down the stairs. This one is called the Kyrie. So, people familiar with that word, Kyrie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
From the Mass.
It's from the. It means mercy. Kyrie eleison means have mercy. Have mercy on me. Clouds in the night sky, leaves on the streets and sidewalks. A dog barks 2 times. Intermittently, the light of the full moon permeates the graceful branches of the blossoming plum tree moving in the wind. From the window of the house, she observes her neighborhood. A cat in the shade, sleeping in the midday heat beside the old fence. They discuss their wedding day and who they want to invite. Walking in the cold, passing the ice-filled fountain, in the city park, raccoons inspect the garbage when nobody is looking. Behind the houses and in all the alleyways, life is there as well. He writes a nervous letter to an old monastery, high in the mountains, accessed by a 2-lane road and a long footpath. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. Dispersing envy. A quiet morning, December stillness and cold, fog upon the snow. Looking out the kitchen window with her cup of breakfast tea, some vitamin C and some other supplements taken at each meal, he has begun to feel that they are growing apart. With the wind, they start to scatter and disappear. Apple blossoms fall. Outside of the new mall, teenagers are gathering. The light of evening, just after the sun has set, lingers with the heat. The novice, on her retreat, recites the prayers for the hour. There is a power, silent and unobtrusive, deep within the heart. Let me help you with your cart. That looks awfully heavy. Dispersing envy through common acts of kindness, recall where we are, with bare branches and the stars, the half-full October moon.
I just remembered that we forgot to invite people to interject or ask questions. Here we are. Well,
maybe this we'll leave some time at the end. How about that?
Well, okay, but feel free to blurt too. You know,
blurt. Yeah.
Sorry, we're. Are you from South Carolina?
Good one.
Introspection. Darn, I don't know if I write anything that isn't introspection.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the first poem I wrote 45 years ago, the first Keeper. Yeah, I mean, I'd written some little rhymes before that, but one, I was taking a poetry writing class in college, and I didn't know how to do what I wanted to do. And I finally sat down one night and stopped trying to figure out where I was going with it. And this is what happened. I named it after I wrote it. One day the sun rose high above my head. I climbed a tree and listened to the clouds go by. Far below, my shadow played with squirrels on the forest floor, while passing winds swayed my lofty perch in the sun. I stayed up there all day, wondering about the world and myself. When the light grew dim, I rejoined my shadow. It had grown. And I smiled as we walked home together. I want to read a poem by David White, and followed by one of mine about David. I first heard David in his first major public appearance at the end of December 1986. At a conference I was attending at Asilomar. And he wowed us. So this is called Everything is Waiting for You. Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone. As if you were alone. As if life were a progressive and cunning crime with no witness to the tiny, hidden transgressions. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. Surely, even you at times have felt the grand array. Surely, even you at times have felt the grand array. The swelling presence, the chorus, crowding out your solo voice. You must note the way the soap dish enables you, or the window latch grants you freedom. Alertness is the hidden discipline of familiarity. The stairs are your mentor of things to come. The doors have always been there to frighten you and invite you. And the tiny speaker in the phone is your dream ladder to divinity. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing even as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and seen the good in you at last. All the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything is waiting for you. So, one of my poems for David is this. What is this poem that wants to retell itself in the telling? These lines said again and again bring a fresh familiarity. Once, twice, the resonations echo, circling, striking again and again. The reverberations cord our hearts until we lie naked, quivering in the spaces between your lines. It was David who kicked me back into writing after a hiatus of about 20 years while I attended to family and other things. Here's one by Mary Oliver. Many of you will know this one. I love it too. It's called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Wherever you are, whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. We doing? Are we due for a change to
should we move to friendship?
We can do that. I just have more than I need for everything. You know.
Okay. Should we move on?
Sure.
Okay. So we thought we'd move on to friendship and love. And I'm going to start with a Shakespeare sonnet. A famous one. You're probably familiar with this. One of my favorites. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy contented least. Yet in those thoughts, myself almost despising, haply I think on thee. And then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate, for thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings.
Oh.
And I can't let an evening go by without reading a poem from my good friend Richard Denner. And I think this fits the theme. This is called Four Winds. At the four winds, we enter the bourne that true friendship is. The table tilts. We orbit the sun and moon, body, voice, and mind, bright, blessed, kind. But this is bubblegum. You complain. Where are the dirty feet? The fish floating belly up. The table tilts. No killing the monkey in the hall or the worm in the rotten wall. Now mild and restrained, now wild and unrefined, we talk. And our words make light. Mm-hmm. flow of grace. The silent morning, the sound of the rising sun in the winter air. While eating a quick breakfast, he wanders through cyberspace. There is just a trace left of the first settlement in the field of wheat. She walks away, she retreats from the family gathering as the moon, singing in the crisp October air, dispels the darkness. The matin psalms is witness to the endless flow of grace. He longs for the face of one who has departed many years ago. All's impermanent, I know, this truth as a comforter. The Russian river, keeper of the tides of time, like a melody, the blossoms of the plum tree open in the gentle wind. I think we should end this quarrel we have had. Life is very short. Though she thought of a quick retort, it no longer felt important. Friends, November sunrise. When I took my morning walk, I saw the first frost on the field by the river where the road comes to an end. Patches of gray ice makes for hesitant walking and a steady wind. He struggles to explain why the affair has reached an end. On Sunday morning, the reporters toss questions to the governor about the needed funding to bring water to the field. In a cloudless sky, the merciless sun shines bright on farms turned to dust. I think we will have to move. My brother will take us in. No moon in the sky and no shadows on the ground. The earth in deep sleep. The deva in the garden conjures up a soothing song. A flock of sparrows among the apple blossom, patches of blue sky. She's feeling much better now after talking with her friends.
Before I launch, I want to take a couple of minutes and mention that there are several people in the audience who are responsible for poetry in a big way in this county, starting at this end. Catherine Hastings has the Word Temple, and the first Word Temple event of this season is Friday night at the Sonoma County Museum. That's 7 o'clock. So that's tomorrow night. That's in Santa Rosa. On 7th, is it?
Yeah, 425 7th Street, right across from the Plaza parking garage.
Okay. So anybody with questions can follow up with Catherine or find Word Temple online as well. Vilma Ginsberg is the Healdsburg Poet or Literary Laureate at the moment, and she is responsible for the third Sunday Salon in Healdsburg, which has been running continuously without a single break for 13 years. Is it 10? Oh, well, I exaggerated then.
Not all with me.
But Vilma is the current host. It's an open mic and featured reader event. Cynthia Helen Beecher, sitting next to Vilma, is the host for the Literary Cafe held in Healdsburg on every second Tuesday night of the month. And there is, at that event as well, there is an open mic for an hour and then featured readers for an hour. Did I miss anyone?
Yes, you. You'll be doing poetry reading at the book fair this weekend.
Yeah. Next weekend.
Next weekend.
It's the Book Fest, Sonoma County Book Festival. And actually, Gail Lerick is also going to be reading. Wilma, are you going to be reading?
Same time.
And I'll be reading in the poets group from about 12:45 or something like that.
And that's in Santa Rosa at Courthouse Square.
Right.
Mike Tuggle, Terry Eric.
Arthur Dawson.
I've heard of those folks.
Some good names there.
Yeah. Well, the whole literary, the book festival is a fun thing. So, did I leave out any credits? Anybody who'd like a credit I didn't mention? Okay. This poem I'm going to read first is a poem that I wrote in response to a request for the Healdsburg Literary Guild, which has an annual Valentine's Day reading. And it was supposed to be on love. And so, well, what am I going to write about love? That's such a big subject. So, a love poem. A love poem, the invitation requested. I smiled. The book of my life is like a tree. New leaves, new poems, budding every year. Some pages tinged by passion, others blurred with tears. The dance of earth, sea, and sky, in step with my own. A shooting star's arc of intoxication, falling deeply to silence. I rake leaves and phrases close round, composting over winter. The earth, parting from my roots, is dark and rich with words, letters, the sounds and shapes of endearment and of solitude. Choosing a poem to place on the altar is not possible. They're all love poems. Every cry, every joy, every offer of attention is love reaching for itself. Awkward, perhaps, often distorted, like lovers waking each other roughly, gently, blindly, even with awareness. Loving. There are too many ways to count. But still, let's try. Show me your fingers. We'll start there. Here's one by Robert Frost. He wrote this poem for his daughter and his to-be son-in-law on the occasion of their marriage. It's called The Master Speed. No speed of wind or water rushing by, but you have speed far greater. You can climb back up a stream of radiance to the sky, and back through history up the stream of time. And you were given this swiftness not for haste, nor chiefly that you may go where you will, but in the rush of everything to waste, that you may have the power of standing still. Off any still or moving thing, you say, to such as you, with such a master speed, cannot be parted nor swept away from one another once you are agreed that life is only life forevermore, together, wing to wing, and oar to oar. I have a poem I call To the Archer, written many Valentine's days ago. In the morning air I hear a humming sound and turn with eager eyes before I can say no or wait, before I have a chance to step aside, to turn and catch that sudden yellow glint and smell the sweet smell of the long sandalwood shafts and caress the owl's feather fletching. Before I have a chance to speak of fire, two slender gold-tipped arrows find the sweet, soft center of my heart. As old incense, gentle heat remembers smoke and dreams, wonder once again informs this life. I want to do the second poem I ever wrote.
Please.
It's called Sweet Thorn. You are a rose into whose arms he madly flings himself, embracing your fragrance and your armor. Life sap falls from his body to rise again in yours, lending crimson touches to rose-petaled cheeks. The throes of unrequited love. If I let low go of love's lost, will the sky open and shower me with new hope? If not, I am lost, for I have opened my hand and let the pain escape. Maybe that's a good last poem for this stretch.
And now we're, each of us are going to read some sort of closing, you know, to bracket the evening. And Dream Garden. The dark green oak leaves flutter in the Virgo wind over the new grown grass. In the field, a large boulder absorbs the afternoon sun. Trucks in the distance drop off a load of lumber for the addition at the small kindergarten of the swiftly growing town. Sprinklers rotate as boys jumping through the spray in the intense heat laugh at a friend who stumbles, then gets up and tries again. It's inspiring to see such dedication, she tells a colleague. In the math graduate program, a student works on a proof, keeping company with the waxing gibbous moon for many long hours. He leafs through the catalogs with flowering plum trees. Though it's still winter, it's not too early to plan the future garden. In the hidden world of dreams, everything is possible.
I'm going to do two short ones. As stone, feeling the weight of passing feet, apologizes for unintentional bruises, perhaps foot in turn may beg forgiveness for the rough or careless step. Wearing, worn, giving, receiving, blessed and blessing. Two hands, one prayer. This is called Just Pretend. Give your thanks first. They're all you have. Count your blessings. What do you think fingers are for? Turn to a stranger. Pretend he is breathing you into the moment. Pretend she is opening to your joy. You, settle into the fire, into your life. Just pretend. Thank you very much.
That was wonderful. It is my duty to inform you that we have a donation bowl over on the counter, and we are happy to receive donations to support this space and the work of our presenters tonight. There are also, I am informed, a number of copies of some of Jim's work here on this table over here, which you are very welcome to peruse and purchase. And thank you so much for coming tonight. We look forward to seeing you at another event here at Many Rooms.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
Sure. Do you know how to turn this off?
Yes. Yeah. Sure.